from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth Time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want you to know, friend, listen, He wants to be yours. He can be yours. According to the book of Luke 19:10, He came to be yours, for He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, Debbie and I are happy that you have chosen to tune in with us today, and we pray that our time together will be an investment for eternity. We pray that we'll bring, first of all, glory to God. Pray that we'll edify the believer. And pray, friend, that someone that's lost and undone on their way to a devil's hell, a Christless eternity, will be stopped, will be turned, and will be converted by the grace of God. I've opened my Bible to the book of Romans, right after the book of Acts, right before the book of 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 14, read down through and include probably verse 17, and share the message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. We trust it'll be a blessing to you. But before I do that, Deb's got a song picked out, queued up, tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is God's Love. And I think she's going to tell us that it's everlasting. Hey, friend, God does love you enough to send His Son so that you and I could be saved. I'll be back in a moment after Debbie's song.
He put the sun to light up the day, the moon to shine in the night. Differently, each star has their twinkle. Together they shine brightly. He formed the mountains in all of their splendor. He cast the desert sand.
God's love is everlasting.
Thank you, Debbie. I'll tell you, friend, listen, His love is boundless, it's endless, it's eternal, it's unconditional. I mean, John even asked the question, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Thank you for that song, Debbie. The book of Romans chapter 1, this is what the Apostle Paul writes to us under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He says this in chapter 1, beginning of verse 14. He said, I'm debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I want to draw out of verse 16 just a phrase where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to talk to you today about what the gospel is. What the gospel is. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Simply put, the gospel is good news. I believe the writer in Proverbs 25 says this, and it's so good, I want to turn to it and make sure that I get it right. He said, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen. When John tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was good news from a far country. God sent His only begotten Son into this world through a virgin's womb to live among us, to die for us, to be buried and resurrected on the third and appointed morning, so that you and I, sir, that are sinners, might be saved. Now look, I want you to know something. When I get done with this message, there will be more needing to be said than what I'll have said. But I hope what I say, friend, brings glory to God. Hope that it edifies and enlightens you. And I pray, sinner friend, that it causes you to realize that Jesus loved me that much. I need to serve Him. I need to live for Him. And one day, by His grace, plan on going to live with Him. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, as Paul begins this letter to the Church of Rome, what a great epistle that it is. One of the great things that he did in the beginning of his message here is to tell us that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Now, Paul was going to Rome. They knew might. They knew military might. They knew the might of a Caesar, the power of his word. They knew the power of their iron rule and of their ability to control men and to conquer men. But I'm telling you, Paul is saying, hey, listen, friend, the message that I've got, look, it's not the message of a man, it's the message of God, it's a word of God. And he said, listen, this gospel is greater than any power that man has ever known, any power that man has ever created, any power that man has ever devised. It is the power of God unto salvation. Can I tell you, friend, what Paul was saying? Paul was saying simply this. Paul was saying, friend, listen, this gospel that I'm going to preach to you, this gospel that God has given to me, this gospel that I'm bringing to this world of Rome, I want you to know that it's more powerful than anything that man has ever conceived in his mind. And look, it'll do something that nothing else will. It will give us complete and full divine deliverance from sin, from its power, from its presence, and from its penalty. And you know what I say about that? I say glory to God. So Paul was saying, hey, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you say, what is the gospel, preacher? Well, let me begin with what it is not. And I want you to think negative with me, if you will, for just a moment. You know what the gospel is not? It's not just It's just not a group of facts about this man Jesus, but it's actually a story about a person. It's more than facts, although Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who do not write a biography of Jesus, who do not give us a complete picture of His life, His death, His burial, and resurrection. Friend, I want you to know it's about the person that brought salvation by grace through faith to us by the grace of God. Oh, it's about a person. And by the way, that's what Christianity is. It's about a relationship with a man by the name of Jesus who again, and I say it with no apologies, was born of a virgin, lived sinless among us, died substitutionally for us, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third and appointed morning came out from among the dead so that you and I, if we believe, if we repent of our sin, if by faith we receive Him and the work that He accomplished at Calvary, we can be saved. So, it's not just a group of facts, although the Gospels give us facts about Jesus Christ, the works that He did, the life that He lived, the miracles that He performed, the word that He preached, the mission that He was on, the method that He used, the man that He was, the life that He lived, the death that He died, and the substitution that He made for you and I. It's not only not a group of facts, but listen, friend, let me tell you this. Without Christ, there is no good news. Without Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, there is no gospel. There is no salvation. There is no righteousness, no right standing before God. And there is no way to be just before a holy God. Hey, listen, friend. The gospel is something amazing. The gospel is something eternal. You can say, preacher, how do you say that? Well, in the mind of God, God knew in the beginning. God knew in the beginning. Before He had ever laid the mud seals of the earth down, God knew that if He created man, if He would create man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that one day He would have to shed His blood. God knew just as sure as He breathed into the nostrils of that lifeless form that He made in His image and in His likeness according to the book of Genesis, and I believe in creation and not evolution. God knew that one day He would have to shed His blood, that it would cost Him more than His breath. In fact, the Word of God teaches us that God saw Jesus as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Isn't that an amazing passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 13? So what is the gospel, preacher? Well, we've seen what it is to some degree negatively. We could have preached a whole message on that, but I want to change it to, let's see what it is positively. Paul tells us here that it is the power of God. It is the untrammeled power of Almighty God. I mean, the word power there is the word, the Greek word from which we get our word dynamite. It's dunamis. It's the power of God. It's the power above anything that man has ever known, man has ever created, man has ever come into contact with. It is the power, friend, that breaks the bonds of sin, the power of Satan. Oh, listen, friend, it is the power of God manifest in an undeniable way on the cross of Calvary, in His Son, Jesus Christ, who suspended between the heaven and the earth with my sins and your sins and the sins of all the world laid upon them, cried and said, "It is finished." I'm telling you, friend, listen, it's a power that the world does not know, but they need to know and they can know. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that amazing? You say the gospel, break it on down a little bit more. Well, I'll do that with the help of what Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 and 4. And let me just pick it up in verse 1. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You say, how in the world can you believe in vain, preacher? Well, I believe to believe in vain means to just believe that it is a fact of history, instead of the power of God on display, ready to save souls, ready to deliver men, friend. Oh, listen, we need to believe on Christ and not just things about Christ. Oh, it's not enough to know the facts. It's not enough to know that Jesus was born at Christmas time, crucified at Easter time. It's not enough to know how that they say He was born of a virgin. You've got to know Him. And He goes on here in verses 3 and 4. Paul said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, of primary importance, a message above all message, the foundational message of all messages of the New Testament, that which also received, listen, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Hey, the gospel is the power of God, friend, that can save a soul from hell's destruction. It can arrest a man in his spirit. Oh, listen, it can put him under arrest. Thank God. If you've never been stirred by the Spirit, convicted by the Spirit, captivated by the Spirit, you'll never understand that statement until you are. But it can arrest a man. It can cleanse a man from all of his sins, from all of his past. It can make him a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it, if it is believed in, it can declare him righteous, not make him righteous, but declare him righteous in the presence of God. And it can guarantee him a place in heaven. Oh, thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the power of the gospel. Thank God for the message of the gospel and all that it's able to do. Look, friend, you know what else the gospel is? It's not only the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But listen now, I like this. I get excited over this. It's for everyone. Now look, we're living in a day when there is a resurgence of what is known as hyper-Calvinism. And the hyper-Calvinists teach and preach that when Jesus died at Calvary, when He shed His blood suspended there between the heavens and the earth, that when He shed His blood, friend, listen, He only gave a limited atonement. But can I tell you what I preach here, inspirational truths, what I preach in the pulpit that I have the church that I have the privilege of pastoring, what I preach anywhere and that I have the opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. I preach a whosoever will gospel. I preach that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you, sir, ma'am, will realize that you're lost today, undone, on your way to a Christless eternity, if you'll turn to God with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, if you'll go to Him and repent and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I need a Savior. Save me for Christ's sake, God. And you know what God will do? He'll save you for Christ's sake. I believe the Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, God sent His Son into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that comes into this world is lost in need of a Savior. Now, the Bible says that God, who would have all men to be saved. Hey, listen, I could go on and on, but gotta move on. But this gospel is for everyone. It has no boundaries. It breaks boundaries, in fact, socially, economically, educationally. Hey, friend, it's the gospel for whosoever will. And you know what else the gospel is? I like this greatly. It's the only condition for salvation. You see what I mean, preacher? Well, in that I need to say the only condition for the salvation that the gospel brings is faith in the work that Jesus did. Oh, friend, I want you to know that if you come to Christ, I mean, the Bible says, the Bible, let me turn over there and read it in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The only condition of the gospel, let me say, the only conditions of the gospel is, number one, for you to realize that you're lost. And number two, for you to come to God by faith, by grace through faith, and say, "God, right now, the best I know how, I put my faith in the work that Christ has done. I deposit that little faith, that amount of faith that you've given to every man, I deposit it into Jesus Christ." And you know what? If you'll do that, that's enough. It's not the amount of faith that matters, but it's the place that you deposit that faith that matters. Now listen, it's not believing in Christ plus doing a work. It's not believing in a Christ plus having so much money. It is simply, friend, putting your faith and trust in the finished work that Christ has done at Calvary. And when you do that, it's the only condition, friend, of salvation. And if there's any other condition, it would not be for everyone. And finally, let me tell you, because time's running by, you know what the gospel is? You know what the gospel is? Well, it's something that produces or provides what man needs. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, you know God's a righteous God. The Word of God teaches us that He's a holy God. The Bible teaches us that He is and there is none else. It teaches us that heaven's His throne, the earth is His footstool. It teaches us that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As high as the heaven is from the earth, so is His ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Can I tell you, friend, listen. In order to be right with God, God demands that man be righteous. And listen, man has a certain degree of righteousness about him. In fact, 64 and 6 of the book of Isaiah said, "All of our righteousnesses," plural, "are as filthy rags." Isn't that amazing? Even the good that we do, friend, does not meet the demand that God puts upon us to be righteous in order to be accepted by Him. So, you know what God did? God provided a righteousness for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who entered into the stream of humanity to live among us, to die substitutionally for us. In fact, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, where Paul was touting his own achievements, what he was, being a Hebrew of the Hebrew, do you know what he said? He said, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, blameless." He said, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But Paul said, wait just a minute. He said, "The things that I did in the flesh, in religion, could not satisfy the demand that God had placed for man in order to be accepted by God. The righteousness that man could produce was not enough to satisfy God's demand." So you know what Paul said? He goes on in verse 7 of chapter 3. "What things were gained to me," those things that he just listed in verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Listen, friend. Jesus provides to the believing sinner what man cannot provide for himself. And God demands righteousness. He's holy. He's high. He's lifted up. And because He is a God of love and a God of grace and a God of goodness and mercy, through His Son Jesus, He provided for us what we could not produce for ourselves. So, sir, ma'am, today, if you're lost, you may have started the day that way, but you can end it saved and on your way to heaven. If you'll just come to Christ and say, I repent of my sin, I'm going to ask Christ to save me. I believe that He died, that He was buried, that He arose on the third and appointed morning. And right now, the best I know how, I repent of my sin, and by faith I receive Him. And if you'll do that, if you'll believe that, God will save you according to His Word. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, may God bless
you. You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.